Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Colin Squires.
It's Easter Sunday, the day we celebrate with great joy because we know what happened. We know that Jesus rose from the dead. Billy Graham, that great evangelist, he said this: "No words of men or angels can adequately describe the height and depth, the length and breadth of the glory to which the world awakened when Jesus came forth to life from the pall of death."
Amen.
Wow. The most amazing thing in history.
Yeah.
But let's cast our minds back to that very first Easter Sunday before anyone even yet knew what was about to happen. So for a bit of context, it's been 3 days since Jesus went and died on the cross. His followers had had to bury him in quite a hurry, and so they hadn't had time to quite finish all the preparations, but they had managed to wrap his body in a shawl and with some spices there, and they put a burial cloth over his face and laid him in the tomb on a stone shelf in a newly cut tomb, and then the stone was rolled in place. But it's 3 days later, it's Easter Sunday morning, and Jesus, he is back from the dead. Now, have you ever imagined, if you had been there in the tomb, what might have happened in that moment? I imagine this cold, still, dark tomb with a dead body in it, when all of a sudden the silence is broken by a gasp and a deep breath. Life filling lungs, the sound of crinkling paper as dry lung tissue is once again reinflated, the sound of a heartbeat as congealed blood flows to liquid again, flowing into rigor mortis limbs, miraculous life bringing warmth, chasing away the cold touch of death. And Jesus, as his body miraculously transformed, is knit back together, healed, made new, scars covering the wounds in his wrists and in his side. And I imagine him just sitting up, taking this cloth from his face and looking at it with a smile to himself that only he could truly understand. He steps off of the shelf. I imagine the rest of the grave clothes just crumple behind him as he walks through them as though they weren't even there. And then as light of the glory of his new risen, resurrected body fills the tomb, he carefully folds the linen face cloth, places it on the shelf, and then in a moment, he's no more. He's gone. The grave not able to hold him. Now, we don't know if that's exactly what happened or how it happened at all. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it was miraculous. It's actually at this point that the Bible does tell us what went on. So we're going to see if we can piece it all together. So if there's anyone out here who wants to come and help gather round so they can see the story, I'm going to see if I can get it to come up on the screen as well. Please don't break. There we go. So we're going to see if we can tell the story. Anyone want to come and see? Oh, there we go. Let's just put that out there. Wonderful. Now, it started with, obviously, at the tomb. So here I've got my tomb. Oh, and thank you. You're just going to sort that out for me, Andy. Thanks. Cameraman extraordinaire. Great. So the cross was probably over here somewhere. I'm missing something at the moment. What was in front of the tomb?
Stone.
Okay, don't worry. I've got one of those. And we know that it was in a garden, so I've got some beautiful plants just here. There we go. Wonderful. There we go. Beautiful garden. Wonderful. And who was guarding the tomb? Roman soldier. From the Roman Empire. The Roman soldier from the was guarding the tomb, and all of a sudden, what happened? Does anyone remember what happened, that first thing that happened? Can everyone start just stomping their feet really quickly on the floor? Oh, it's an earthquake! An earthquake! And then what happened? Somebody came. It was an angel. Here comes. And the angel appeared, and the guard said, "Ooh! Oh, jeepers, an angel." And it said that he fell down as though dead because he was so terrified. "Oh, me giddy arm, me heart." And he fell down behind that bush. The angel then, what did he do? I need a sound effect here, everyone. Roll the stone. Not clearing your throat of phlegm. Rolling a stone, come on. There we go. Great, and then the angel went for a tea break. Next, what happened? What happened after that? Can anyone tell me? John chapter 20, very early in the morning. Charlotte, what time is very early in the morning? What kind of time would you think? 5 in the morning. Teenagers over there, what would be very early in the morning? 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. So sometime between 5 and 10, some women came to the tomb. There was Mary. Oh, here's Mary. It's Mary Magdalene. She came. And there were some other women. I've only got one. And she walked backwards because this side doesn't got a face. And they came to the tomb. And then Mary looked inside and she goes, oh, no, they've taken the body. Now, they came. Do you know why they were there? Because remember, they hadn't quite finished preparing Jesus' body. And so they came to bring some new spices to cover up any smells and things. They wanted to honor him because in their mind, he was dead. They weren't expecting him to be alive. They came ready to continue the burial process. Anyone think of any spices that you might have at home? Some spices. Abby, can you think of any spices? Ellie, can you think of any spices? Harry? Cinnamon? Yes, very good. What do you think, Poppy? Ginger, maybe? Garam masala? Probably not. Yes, Charlotte? Pepper? May have been, but it was probably like aloes and spikenard and myrrh and maybe frankincense, those kind of things. And they were bringing these things and they came to the tomb, but Mary looked inside and Jesus's body is not there. She thinks someone must have stolen it. So what does she do? She runs back to go and get Peter and John. Meanwhile, the other ladies are still there and the angel pops back. We're trying to sort of do a bit of a synopsis of all the Gospels. Here is the angel.
Hallelujah.
Thanks, guys. At least you're on it. Yeah, better late than never. And the angel appears. And he tells them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. And so the women, they run off to go and tell the other disciples. Meanwhile, Mary goes to James and John, Peter and John, and says that they've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they put him. I ran out of these figures, so I've just got these ones. Peter and John, they come and they look in. The angel's gone for a biscuit. And they look inside the tomb, and then something amazing happened. They work out what's happened, and they are convinced, and they think they know. They've worked it out, they've sussed it out, they think they know what's happened. So they run off, completely forgetting that Mary, where's she gone? Mary, come back. She's like, oh my goodness, they run really fast. They've just left me behind. Yeah, thanks, guys. And, there's a Roman behind there. And she comes back. And she, stop knocking over the garden, Mary. And then she comes back, and then she looks in the tomb, and what does she see?
An angel.
The
angel.
Yeah! The angel appears again, and she looks inside, and she says, and the angel says, dear woman, why are you crying? And Mary goes, oh, it's an angel! Ah! No, she doesn't. That's what I would have done. She's like not even perturbed in the slightest. She's just like, because they've taken away my Lord. Just an angel, happens every day. And I don't know where they have put him. She's so just taken with Jesus. She doesn't even think twice about an angel there. She just wants to know, where is Jesus? And then suddenly she hears, as she turns, she hears, here's the most amazing moment. Now, we don't want any music for this bit because this bit was very, very subtle. As she turns, she sees somebody at the corner of her eye and she thinks it's the
gardener.
The gardener, very good. And the gardener says, dear woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? He's so gentle with her, so wonderful. And she says, sir, if you have taken him away, if you've taken Jesus' body away, tell me where you've put him and I will go and get him. And then Jesus, he says, I think he probably steps out at this point and he says, oops. Body slam. No, that's not what he says. He says, Mary. And Mary runs to him over this side and she gives him a big hug. And so the very next thing, Jesus gives her a message and it's, oh, yeah, have a little chat. And then she goes off, she tells the disciples, the very first thing she says to the disciples is, I have seen the Lord. Wow. That's all we have time for our little set piece over here. I'm going to just borrow this and maybe this and maybe this, just in case I need them, need some props. And she turned to him and she said, Rabboni, which means teacher. And she gave him a hug and it was just amazing. And imagine this moment where Mary suddenly realized who it was, not the gardener at all, but Jesus. And I imagine in that moment, she didn't just realize who he was. She realized what it meant. If Jesus had risen from the dead, what did that mean? Just come on, shout out some things. What did that mean? What was true? He was the Messiah. The prophecies were true. And what else does that mean? It means, yeah, it's all true. Sin has been forgiven. Death has been overcome. That means I can have healing and the way is open to God. All of it. It has all come true. And in that moment, I think she didn't just go, oh, Jesus is back. But she suddenly realized who Jesus really was. She hadn't recognized, she hadn't realized the things that he had done for her in dying and being raised from the dead didn't really mean anything to her until she realized who he really was. Can you imagine if she had not realized? Her diary entry that night might have been very different. Today, I went to the tomb. Someone has stolen Jesus' body. I'm absolutely distraught. Oh, also met a gardener. The end. Every day she'd have walked past this tomb, wondered who took his body and what a sad ending that was to Jesus's life and ministry. But when she realized who he was, she realized what it meant. Now, I've always wondered about this. Why didn't she recognize him at first? Was it like a sort of a Clark Kent Superman situation? He just coiled his hair in the middle of his forehead and then she was like, who's that? Or maybe she just had tears in her eyes. Maybe it was still a bit dark in the morning and she just couldn't see him. He was stood far away. Or maybe the sun was rising behind his head and she saw him silhouetted. We don't know. But what's strange is it's not the only time where someone didn't recognize Jesus. In Luke 24, there's two disciples traveling down a road called the Road to Emmaus and someone joins them. Guess who it is? Jesus. Now, they'd been with Jesus for years. They'd sat at his feet with his teaching. They'd eaten with him. They'd camped with him. They'd been with him for so long. And yet, they didn't recognize him either. Jesus on the road, he taught them, but they didn't really understand who he was. It wasn't until later, it says that their eyes were opened and they recognized who he was. And he suddenly just vanished. Jesus just being cool. But they realized who he was. And for them, suddenly, it all made sense. Who he is, what it means. He is God. Salvation has come. And it dawned on them when they realized who he really was. Amen. One more story. In 2019, in a French town a little bit north of Paris, there lived a little old woman. She was in her 90s and she'd lived in that town all her life. She'd lived in the same house for decades. And in that house, in her kitchen, hanging above her cooking hot plate, hung a small painting. It was this painting. Not this exact painting, I'd be wearing some cotton gloves and things. But this little painting. And it was of Jesus being mocked just before his crucifixion, when the guards were putting the robe on him and pretending that he was their king. And she walked past it every day for decades. Often when she'd be cooking, she might glance up at it, but she never really took much attention. And then the time came one day that she needed to move out of her little home into a retirement house. And so she knew she couldn't take everything with her. So she had to get rid of some things. Things started going to the tip and being thrown away and given away and taken to charity shops. But she also needed some money to help pay for the retirement home. So she had an auctioneer. You know, those people who say, going once, going twice, sold, and then bang their gavel on the thing and sell things. You know that one where people bid? You know what I'm talking about? Guys down here, you know what I'm talking about? And so this auctioneer came in and she saw amongst the furniture and knickknacks and trinkets, this little painting. It was actually this exact size, just a little thing. And she thought, there's something special there. So special that she went and got some art specialists to have a look at it. And they said, wow, this is special. This special picture is actually called Christ Mocked by an Italian artist from the 13th century called Cimabue. This painting was 750 years old and was very special indeed. So special that when it went to auction to be sold, can anyone guess how much? How much? Let's have a bidding war. Who starts the bidding? Start the bidding. 10 quid.
3,000.
Okay, 3,000. 150,000.
A million.
20 million pounds.
Wow.
20 million pounds. It set the world record for the most expensive piece of medieval artwork ever sold. This little old lady walked past this painting of Jesus every day, but she never realized its worth. She never knew its value. It was meaningless to her. She couldn't spend that money. It was meaningless to her until she recognized what it really was. In a similar way, that Easter Sunday morning, Jesus had just conquered death. He'd opened the way to the Father for all mankind. He'd freed us from sin. He gave us new life. But the reality of that was lost on Mary until she recognized Jesus for who he was. It was like in our silly song game earlier. The Bible is the word of God. It has the power to transform lives. It is the truth that sets us free. It brings faith. It is the most incredible, powerful thing in existence. Pop songs can't do that for our lives. I know we were taking it all out of context and making it a bit tricky, but the point is, if we didn't recognize the Bible for what it is, if we didn't read it as though it's truth and live in the good of it and apply it, then it will be meaningless or worthless to us. The Bible says, if you abide in my word, Jesus said this, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Not just have the truth, not just have it in a book on your bedside table, but not know somebody else who does know the truth, but know the truth and the truth will set you free. Live in it, abide in it, know it for yourself. Jesus died, this is the truth. Jesus died for you and for me, for every sin, every wrong thing, every bad and sad thing that we had ever done, to take that away and give us a new start, a new life. That is the truth. But unless we realize it for ourselves and recognize Jesus in it, it'll be like that old lady walking past it every day and never realizing the true value. So what might this not recognizing Jesus look like for us? Not mistaking him for a gardener, I'm sure. Maybe it's something like this. Maybe our parents know him. So it feels almost like we walk past him every day, like that old lady's painting. Jesus is sort of in our home, but we haven't really stopped to wonder about his worth for ourselves. Or maybe not recognizing Jesus is knowing about Jesus, but not having a relationship with him. Or maybe not recognizing Jesus is like Mary did. She maybe didn't see him at first, because she didn't expect to see him, like Clark Kent and Superman. I think that was the thing that was such a good disguise. People was the last person people expected. The last thing Mary expected was Jesus to be raised from the dead. That was beyond Hebrew understanding. The resurrection would be for one day, for all, but not for one man now. In the same way, do we maybe not recognize Jesus when what we expect is to be sick and to not be healed? Or maybe our not recognizing Jesus is that we think we have to get our own way out of our difficult situations, and that Jesus couldn't possibly break through and do a miracle. Or maybe it's a feeling. Not recognizing Jesus is when you have a feeling stirring in you. Maybe you've been invited to church. Maybe you're here for the first time this morning. Or maybe it's during a worship song, or you're watching something on TV, or you've had a dream and something inside you stirs and it kind of says, God is real. You need this. You need me. And you dismiss it and think, no, that can't be right. I want to suggest to you maybe this morning that Jesus is trying to get your attention. Just like he said so wonderfully to Mary, Mary. He spoke her name and she knew immediately. Just like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, it said that their heart burned within them and they knew it was Jesus. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in Have you recognized the sound of Jesus' knock at your heart? He does heal. He does transform situations. He is the living God. He's not just someone to know about. He's not some myth. He's real. He wants a relationship with you and wants to reveal himself to you. Should we pray?
Yeah.
Why don't we all stand together? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the reality of what you did when you died on that cross. And Jesus, we thank you that our spiritual eyes would be opened to see you for who you truly are, to see the magnificence, the splendor, the wonder, the greatness of what you have done on the cross and rising from the dead, and that we would live in the good of it. That Jesus, we wouldn't just park you on the Sunday and go, well, that was nice, but then forget about you. We wouldn't miss you or dismiss you. But Jesus, like Mary, we would throw our arms around you and not want to let go, because we see, maybe for the first time, or maybe as though it were for the first time, again, how wonderful you are. If there's anyone here, if you're someone who's never prayed this prayer before and you don't know Jesus, then you can say, Jesus, would you reveal yourself to me? Show who you are to me. Come and have a conversation with one of us. We would love to talk to you about who he is and what he's done for you. Jesus, I pray that, Father, anyone who's had that burial cloth of death over their face, something of death and the devil who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, has blinded us to who you truly are. Whatever lie, thank you that it is taken from our face, just as with Jesus, and folded neatly and left behind, never to cover our eyes again. Jesus, would you open our eyes to the wonder of who you are? In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.